It's a good day to be in the house of God. Thank you so much, worship team, for leading us in the presence of God. I always say there's a big difference between just playing music and worshiping God, and we're grateful that you guys worship the Lord with the gifts that he's given you. Amen. Really do. How are we doing this morning? Doing good? Glad to be back with you guys again today. My goodness. Y'all are a good-looking group of people this morning, I will say. Look at y'all. Say thank y'all so much for showing up to church this morning. It says a lot about you any time that you do this. Are y'all excited today?
Yeah.
If you're a guest here today, my name is Josh. I get the privilege of being a lead pastor here at the church, which means that I get to be lead servant of the church. I think the best example of leadership to date is Jesus. He did a pretty good job with it. And he came to be a servant. I think any form of leadership that seeks to be served rather than to serve is satanic in nature and is out of line with Scripture. And so the best leadership you see comes from a motivation of servanthood. And that's what we strive to do here at Eastgate. We're so glad that you're here today, though. If you're a guest with us today, so glad that you decided to join us today. You guys joining us online, big welcome to everyone joining us online this morning. Can we just welcome everyone dropping in? If y'all would, please hit that like button and that share button and help us reach as many people as we can with the message today. We would really appreciate that. It's just an easy way to get that message out there to the people on your friends list. Just a quick like and a quick share goes a long, long way in reaching people for Jesus. If you're in love with Jesus today, let me hear you say amen. Now let's have a little bit of fun. If you're in love with Jesus today, let me hear you go, whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
There we go. Have a little bit of fun in church. Some of y'all still got that resting holy face on you this morning. Trying to wake you up just a little bit. I always tell people, hey, if Jesus is in your heart, let your face know. You know what I mean? That smile, I'm looking out at some of y'all. I'm like, who did I make mad this morning? I don't think I made that many people mad. We just let that coffee kick in, let the juices get flowing. Picked a great day to be in the house of the Lord today, though. I tell you, a lot of good stuff going on in our church. Before we get into the message, I just want to give you a couple of quick reports on some things. You know, last Sunday, we took up a special offering for a family that is going through just a season of need. Their house burned down. That's never a good thing. Do we have those photos to show? Yeah, so we want to show you. Yeah, so their house, well, when we say burnt down, it burnt down. And that's a tragic thing for anybody to go through. And so they're connected to a family here in our church, the Easterwood family. And so we said, well, let's just do for one what we wish we could do for all. You know, our heart is to be there for every need in our community, but financial limitations just make that impossible. So you do for one what you wish you could do for all. And so we took up a special offering last week to help them out in the transition period. While they're waiting for insurance to do what insurance does and all that in-between stuff. And if you've ever dealt with insurance and policies, they move so fast. And they're so accommodating. So we wanted to help bridge the gap there in Eastgate. Listen, we took up one offering to bless them, and we were able to give them $800 last week. How about that? That was awesome. And that's what the church should be about, man, loving others and being the practical love of Jesus for sure, and that's what it's all about. If you are free this Thursday, I've been given an invitation to hop on a podcast and just run my mouth for a little bit with a group of people from New Mexico. I think they'll put the artwork on the screen for you. It's kind of a churchy podcast, but it's cool. We'll get to talk about Jesus and leadership and some fun stuff. And so if you're free and you can tune in, I think we'll be sharing the link on my Facebook page, and y'all can tune into that. It'll be really, really fun. Men, the men's camping trip is coming up quick. Coming up quick. That may have been one of the most pathetic responses I have ever heard. There were more women excited about their men getting out of the house than the men. Is that not like the most manly thing ever, though? Yay, awesome trip. All the guys are like, yeah. That'd be, boy, if that's not a man thing, I don't know what is, but I tell you. I believe you should be excited about some stuff, though, in life, yeah? Yep. Dudes, are we excited to get out and get away and have some fun? Let me flip this. Ladies, are you really glad to be able to help your gentleman get out of the house and have some fun in our life? All right. That's all I need to know. You know what that tells me? The men are going on the camping trip. That's what that tells me. It's already decided. I don't know if I'll know. Your wife said you're going. You're gonna go. You're going to go. You love her, and you want to make her happy, and you want to go. You want to get closer to God. It's going to be a fun time, guys. We're going to get out there and relax. I watch guys play football, you know, professional football, and they go through the season, and during the week, they get days off. And during the season, they get an off week so they can rest and recoup and regather and heal up a little bit and then get back in the game, you know. Guys, we need to do the same thing. We need to sometimes just pull away, recoup, heal, relax, unplug, unwind, have some fun, talk some smack around a campfire, eat some good food. We're going to feed you Friday night. We're going to feed you Saturday morning, all for $30. $30 gets you two meals, your camp fees, all the fun that you're going to have there, and a great opportunity to get away with your kid or your grandkids. It's only $10 for the first kid that comes with you, just to cover the cost of food. After that, they're all free. So if you've got 18 grandkids, you only have to pay for one, all right? You only have to pay for one. I'm not going to say we're going to check IDs and make sure they're actually your grandkids or anything like that or your kids, but it's a great deal, man. You're not going to find cheaper fun just to get away and have cut up with the guys, do some fishing, relaxing. We're going to have a great time getting into the Word on Friday night. I got a great Word I'm going to bring to you. And it's going to be very spiritually heavy, a great time just to connect with guys and with God. So let me encourage you with all my heart, get there. Ladies, help us get them there. Sometimes guys don't know what's good for them. Let's help them understand. And you'll see guys signing people up after service today. So make sure you sign up just to get information, sign up to commit, and clock's ticking on that. There'll be more info on that later. But I wanted to make sure that I pogo sticked on that just a little bit. Because it's funny, women will sign up for stuff like that. Men, for some reason, we're wired to just play hard to get. And I don't know what the deal is with that. But just close your eyes and picture the smell of fresh meat cooking over an open fire, coffee over the campfire. Fresh water here in the waves, fish slapping the water out there. I'm just telling you, somebody screaming help because we pranked them and put them on an inflatable mattress out in the middle of the lake when they were sleeping. I'm not saying that would happen, but you better keep your eye on a couple of people. It's just a great time to have some fun, guys, so don't miss out on it. No pressure, but we want you to be there for sure. What do y'all say we get into this Word today? Got a good message for you today. If you're excited for the Word, let me hear you say, bring it on.
Bring it on.
I feel like I need to now. Y'all are waking up. I even heard some men in there. I love that. I'm going to show you a couple of are y'all hearing some wonkiness with the microphone? Everything's good? All right. Yeah. My ears are doing some weird stuff with me. I'm on the back end of this little bug I'm recovering from. Keep praying for your boy, but I got a word to preach today. You just ain't going to keep me out of this pulpit today. I'll show you a couple of pictures that'll take you back in time. Check this out. Toys R Us. Y'all remember Toys R Us, right? I can't believe I actually just said, y'all remember Toys R Us. I can't believe Toys R Us went out of business. And maybe if you haven't seen it like this, see it. What's the giraffe's name? Jeffrey. That's what I'm talking. Y'all are my people. Jeffrey. Dude, when I was growing up and the Toys R Us commercials used to come on, that was it. When we would get to go to Toys R Us as kids, My goodness. Look, we were broke as a joke growing up. Like broke. You know, the old joke is you're so broke you go to KFC to lick other people's fingers. See, that's how it was when we were growing up. Yeah, so we're broke growing up. We have a lot of money to spend on that. We had food, we had clothes and all that. But when we go to Toys R Us, we would window shop like crazy. And I love Toys R Us because you could play with the toys there. Man, and just all, it was just like a free playground. Parents could bring you there. You couldn't walk out with anything, but you could play with everything there. And, man, I loved it. I loved Toys R Us. They had the best jingle of all time, too. I don't want to grow up. My toys, look at y'all. Look at y'all. I'll help you out, because I don't want to grow up, because if I did, exactly, see, y'all know, man, you ever wish you could go back in time and be a kid again? But go back with, like, the knowledge that you have now. Some of y'all are like, yes, some of y'all are like, no. I think it would be different if I went back with the knowledge that I have now, but I was thinking back on my childhood, man, we did things different growing up. You know what I mean? Like, everybody that grew up in, like, the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even the 2000s. Like, every generation, 2010s, different scenarios. When I grew up, man, some of the best water you'd ever drink was out of a funky water hose at your neighbor's yard. You know what I mean? I didn't have to get tetanus shots because I drank out of a water hose. Y'all play in mud all day growing up? Oh, my gosh. Used to go out and get covered in mud, playing with my race cars and getting my G.I. Joes and my Army guys out there. Good gravy, man. Y'all remember Rainbow Bright? Yeah. Yeah. I know Roy Garman here remembers Rainbow Bright. He prayed with Rainbow Bright a lot growing up. So he picking on people. All those fun toys, man, Transformers, GoBots, y'all remember GoBots? That's like the generic version of Transformers. Yeah, I had a lot of GoBots, no doubt. And just all these toys, all this fun, man. We used to go out, and we would go out in the woods and play, I mean, just miles back in the woods. Bye, Mom, bye, Dad, see you later, gone. When we got hungry, we go to a friend's house to eat, or we come back home and eat, and then boom, we're gone again, you know. Playing army out in the woods, building forts, playing in creeks. So much fun. Y'all ever do BB gun wars? This is more of a guy thing than a girl thing, I think. A whole meme out there is why women live longer than men. This is probably one of those reasons. Guys like to play army. We get out there and play BB gun wars. But we had rules. We were smart. You know, you would shoot from the waist down so nobody would get shot in the head. And then you always had that one joker that would not do what the rules were, and they would just pop people in the head like a sniper. And then you'd have fights and all that. So we got smart. We were like, we're going to wear safety goggles. So we put on safety goggles, like wood shop safety glasses for like stopping splinters and stuff and flying up in your face. And we thought that was a good idea till we target practice, because one friend was like, that's not going to stop a BB. I'm like, yeah, we'll safety goggles. Prove it. So we shot it. Psh, shattered the safety goggles. And we're like, okay, maybe not the best idea ever. You know, this is just bottle rocket wars. We did bottle rocket. It's a wonder that we're still not paying off millions of dollars of medical bills that we accrued for our and damages and all of this stuff. I just, one time growing up, I burned up about, I think it was about 5 acres of land, just because I got mad at my uncle one time, and I just torched the stuff. I know, right? Pastor pyromaniac. It's just crazy the things that you do growing up. I think it would be different, though, if I could go back and relive some of those days with what I know now. I think I would run sixth grade like a gangster. You know what I mean? I have Kingpin Pate. That's who I'd be. I guarantee you I would run that. Going in high school, knowing what I know now, dude, Man, I would run that place with the life lessons and the wisdom and just being able to see how to avoid all the pitfalls and the what we see now on the other side of things as petty drama and distractions and all of that. I might have actually had a higher grade point average. Might actually had a grade point average, to be honest with you. The old joke, some people graduate summa cum laude, and I graduated thank the laude, you know, just by the skin of my teeth, man, getting through. It's just crazy. You look back, it's like, how? And I know we had different experiences growing up, but for some of us, for my people, you know, it's like, how did we graduate high school? How did we get out of there without a criminal record? As long as, you know what I mean? Thank God for minor offenses and not being able to be tried as an adult for some things. And good God Almighty, I'm feeling better confessing all this stuff this morning, I'll be honest with you. Feeling a lot better. It's funny to go back and just relive some of that stuff, I think. Might be fun. I don't think I'd want to deal with the hormone stuff again. I don't think I'd want to deal with, some of that. I would like to be able to watch MacGyver again for the first time through, though. That'd be fun. A-Team, Knight Rider, Airwolf, holy smoke. Y'all remember Rescue 911 that used to come on in high school? Friday nights, did y'all jump in front of the TV and watch the TGIF stuff that would come on TV? Did I do that? Urkel stuff. Just going back in time, man. But you can't really go back, though, and live life that way, because you've got to live life to get the experience of life, you know? And we've got perspective, whether you're in high school and you've got perspective on things from middle school, or young adults and you've got perspective on high school life, or you're married with children or into the later years of life, different seasons of life being different perspectives, because life brings its own experience, and experience is the best teacher of all. And sometimes you just got to go through some seasons of life to get the experience necessary to prepare you for the next season of life. And there's just some things you can't get without going through the experience of getting it. You know, and I think that's the truth, and it parallels well with how we grow spiritually, because spiritual growth is a process. It's not an event. Our spiritual growth is a process. It's not an event. It's something that we experience. It's something that we get one step at a time. It's something that we get one season at a time as we experience it. Now, we've got a great playbook from the Word of God that equips us, but having the information and applying the information are two completely different things. You know, when we get saved, there's a lot of excitement and there's a lot of talk and a lot of hype, especially in church, about when a person gets saved, you become a new creation, the Bible says. The old is gone and the new has come, the Bible says. And things change on a spiritual level, while sometimes things kind of stay the same on a natural level. It's a weird dynamic. It really is, and it's hard to step into sometimes without fully understanding. And I think sometimes as Christians, we do a very poor job of walking people through that process of transformation. What I'm saying is this, like, when you get saved, we become, the Bible says, heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. Spiritually, we are adopted or grafted into the kingdom of God and the family of God, adopted children of God through Christ. Through Christ, the blessings of the covenant of God rest on us because of what Jesus did. It's more than just the salvation experience and the forgiveness of sin. There's a lot of positional things that change spiritually about us with our identity. We are set free from sin through Jesus. That means that we don't have to wrestle with it or struggle with it. Temptation is one thing, but through Jesus, we have the power to overcome temptation. The Bible says that God gives us a way out of every temptation. Where before Jesus, we didn't have the ability to choose with regard to sin because we were born as slaves into it. after Jesus, now we have the ability to choose to do it because we have the freedom that comes from him. Positionally, things change. Positionally, we have the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. They're potentially for us, the love, the peace, the patience, the faithfulness, the goodness, gentleness, self-control, all of that stuff to bear out in our lives. Positionally, it's there. Practically, though, it's a different scenario. Because while positionally it's all there, practically we have to begin to live out this process of maturing to put it into practice in our lives. Does that make sense? It's like if you take someone who's born the son of a king they're the heir to the throne, they have positionally the power of the throne, the authority of the throne, they have the resources of the throne, they have all of the things that come along with that. When they speak, there's a level of power that they speak with. It's all there positionally. Practically, though, they have to learn how to operate within that. They have to learn how to budget. They have to learn how to administrate. They have to learn how to properly judge. They have to learn how to orchestrate the military. They have to learn how to operate in the capacity of what they already have been given in authority. And that's the same thing with spiritual growth. It's a process, not an event. And I think part of the frustration with a lot of us is that we want to snap our fingers and magically transform into something. And with some aspect, not magically transform, but there is a transformation process from the inside out that happens when you become a believer. But listen, this thing called growth takes time sometimes. It takes time sometimes. Spiritual growth, I've learned, isn't so much about how long you've been saved. It's about how well you apply the Word of God to your life. So you can accelerate the process of growth in your life by simply applying the Word of God to your life. And we're going to dive into this and get in. I tell you, I've seen people who have been saved and in church for 20, 30 years, and they are more trouble in a church than someone who just came off the streets, cracked out, possessed by 50 demons, sitting in the back seat trying to get their life right with Jesus. I'm telling you. That spirit of religion and immaturity does more damage, I think, than anything else in the kingdom of God. So just look at the person next to you and say, growth is a process, so let's grow up. Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to jump into this. Hebrews 5, verse 11, says, there is much more we would like to say about this. This, I'll be honest with you, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Not so much because of what it says, but because of how it says it. It says, there's much more we'd like to say to you about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. I love this. Oh, my gosh. Have you ever wanted to say that to somebody? Maybe not so fancy, but just like, what is... You're dancing, you're not listening. What is the deal? I know no parents of any teenager ever have ever wanted to say that. There's no relative at all you have ever wanted to say that to. No sibling, no cousin, no nothing. It's funny. This is amazing. This is why I love the Bible. Okay, this is more than just pretty Bible verses. He's smack talking here. This is what he's doing. This is a burn. This is the burn. This is what this is. He is throwing some serious shade right now. This word dull has got two separate meanings to it. He says, hey, I'd like to explain some stuff to you, but it's kind of difficult because here's the meanings for this word dull. All right? Lazy sluggard. Lazy sluggard and mentally slow. He's like, y'all got too many beans in your ears or cobwebs up there. Something's going on here. It's just, you're either too lazy to apply this stuff, you sluggards, which is an insult, all right? This isn't like, this is like sarcasm to 11. Any of y'all speak sarcasm? I speak fluent sarcasm. That's why I love this. He's just like, look, y'all are just either lazy sluggards or y'all need to be in a special class right now, is what he's saying. Y'all either have some kind of mental disability that you're working through and can't grasp it, or you're just lazy and don't want to grasp it. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Listen, the next time any pastor or leader encourages you in a semi-firm way to get busy doing something for the kingdom of God, remember little verses like this. Whew, there's a lot of love in this, I tell you. And then he says, you have been believers for so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Not like teaching a class, but the implication is you should be an example to others. You should be discipling others. You should be pouring into others, encouraging others. You should be what other people are aspiring to become. Not that you're perfect, but that you've grown to a point in your life where you're displaying a form of maturity that people want to aspire to. So you should become teachers. You should be those examples. But instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word, because you are lazy sluggards and mentally slow, he says. That's just funny, man. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. You were like babies. Oh, here the hits keep on coming. Like, we read that and we're like, oh, cute little spiritual babies. No, he is hurling insults at these people. He's like, y'all are like dirty diaper wearing, can't feed yourself, can't take care of yourself, causing problems from other people, unemployed, house parasites. You know what I'm saying? Y'all are babies, is what he's saying. You're babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature. Now he's drawing a line. Who through training, that's a key word there, have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Solid food is for the mature who through training, who through practical implementation of these biblical truths, the people who have put this to work, who have worked it, developed it, who have worked it out, who have applied it to their lives, who've cycled through it, who have done the trial and error, who through training have taught themselves. They have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. The difference between maturing and not maturing is the ability to apply the word of God to your life. Okay? You have to apply the word of God to your life. The difference between victory and your walk with God, though positionally you have all these things available to you, the difference is whether or not you activate the word by applying it and living in obedience to it. See, faith, now listen to me, all right, this is going to sound weird, but listen to me. Faith will only take you so far. Okay? Faith without works, the Bible says, is dead. There has to be a marrying between the two, and what you believe and what you live out, they have to come together. And it's only when that happens that you're able to apply the word of God to life in those key moments to train yourself and grow and mature through the process of life's experiences. That's how God designed it. A lot of people live on spiritual philosophy. They don't live on practical accuracy of applying the word of God to their lives. Philosophy is not going to get you anywhere. It's how well you apply the word of God. Have y'all ever taken or audited a class before? I've audited classes before, and you can go to like a local college and audit classes. Auditing a class and taking a class for credit are two very different things, though. If I audit a class, then I can show up and I can get the information. I can take notes if I want to. I can absorb some information, but that's the end of it, though. I'm not accountable to the class itself. I don't have to do the assignments that the people going for credit have to do. I'm not accountable to the deadlines or the class requirements, meaning that if I don't want to show up to class, I don't have to be at class. You know, if I don't want to write the paper, I don't have to write the paper. I'm just auditing the class. I sit in the back, I get the information that I want, and I go on my way. No accountability, no strings attached. I'm auditing the class. But if I want credit for the class, it's very different. I'm getting the information, but I'm accountable for the assignments. I'm accountable for the class structure. I'm accountable to be at the required classes. It costs me something to get the credit. You know what I mean? There's a price that's paid there. And I think that's the prevailing difference in the mentality that we see in the church big picture in the world today. There's too many people auditing church and auditing their relationship with God instead of taking it serious and going for credit so that they can apply this to their lives and have it when they need it most in life. Listen to me, guys. Don't play a game with your walk with God. Don't play a game with your walk with God. The world, the last time I checked, and especially if you watched the news yesterday, is on fire right now. It is on fire. The world does not need a group of people gathering together under some philosophical ideology. They need the army of God coming together, living the word of God, being the church of Jesus Christ, preaching the hope of Jesus, and showing the light of the world. The time for playing games, I would say, is far done in the church. It really is, guys. And I just challenge you, man, make it real. Make it real. A lot of the frustrations that we have in life and a lot of the cycles that we are in life, and honestly, a lot of the selfishness that we operate out of is because we trick ourselves into thinking that coming to church once a week and then going out and doing our own thing is enough. It's enough. And Jesus said, "Hey, many are going to come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, in your name, didn't we do A, B, C, D, and all of this stuff?" And he's going to say, "Hey, I don't know you. Depart from me." Playing church and being real are two different things. Be real in your walk with God is what I'm saying. And it's only real as you allow yourself to grow and mature. There's different ways that we grow in our walk with God. And this is a school that he set up. I didn't do it. I think if I had set up God's school of life, I would have done it differently, and it probably would have been horrible. I think the way he set it up was perfect. The way that we apply the word, y'all with me, by the way? Still? All right. Different ways that he teaches us and different ways that we have opportunity to apply this stuff in life. Obviously, first, I would say it would come through the trials of life itself. Just life itself. Life in and of itself brings its own experience and teaching moments. And it's whether we choose or not to apply the Word of God to these moments of trial in our lives that sets us up for success spiritually or failure, doomed to repeat the same cycle of immaturity over and over again. James chapter 1 gives us some good insight in this. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." That just does not sound like that's supposed to be that way, does it? "Consider it pure joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Let me go through that backwards. It says, if you want to not lack anything and be mature and complete, then let perseverance finish its work when your faith is being tested. A applying the Word of God in the moments that matter like that, that's what separates the people that are playing the game from the people that are living the life. It really is. And I'm not saying like there's perfect people, imperfect people, or holy people, got it together people, and people that are struggling. There's a moment where you say, if the Word of God is real, and I'm betting my eternity on this guy named Jesus, then it's got to become a reality, and it's got to become a real thing in my life. And if I'm trusting for my salvation, I've got to trust Him for my day-to-day life, you know? And so I'm going to put this stuff to work. And so practical things pop up in life when you have friction with someone at work. Now you've got the choice to respond out of the flesh or emotion, or apply what the Word of God says to the situation and live your life according to that. See, that's exercising that faith. That's training yourself to apply the Word of God. That is implementing the Word of God in the trial so that you can persevere and come out on the other side, mature and complete. When you go through a financial storm, you apply the Word of God to your life. You don't knee-jerk react and freak out and get over. See, the temptation is to become overwhelmed by emotion and anxiety or fear and grab things and try to handle them ourselves the way that makes sense to us. Got news for you. If your plan is in contradiction to God's word, your plan sucks. Okay? It just does. God's word is always best. Now, I know that's easier said than done sometimes because you have to divorce yourself from your fleshly response and you have to choose a spiritual response to situations. But what happens in family conflicts, it's the same thing with what happens with personal issues and things that you're working through. You either apply the Word of God in the seasons and trials of life or not. And you will never have victory in those trials. You will always repeat. I don't know if you've caught on to this yet or not, but God's little school system works differently than public school systems in some states, where after a while you look kind of goofy being 25 years old in sixth grade, and so they'll just move you on and get you out of there because you look goofy, you know, all bowed up in the desk. God will keep your rear end in the second grade until you graduate second grade, until He teaches you what you need to learn, because He's not going to set you up for spiritual failure. So He's trying to teach you lessons in this season so that you are prepared for what He wants to do in the next season. He's trying to prepare you today for what He wants to do in and through you tomorrow. Learning how to apply the word today sets you up for success tomorrow. Marriage problems, it's the same thing. You can act like a dadgum sixth grade middle school and have drama in the house, or you can be a grown man and a grown woman and apply the Word of God to your marriage and work out the situations in a biblically mature way. And the result is always, always good when you do it God's way. Every time, you know? So how you apply it in those seasons matter. Audit or getting credit. And the choice is ours. I think the second thing that you have to look at in different ways that the Lord will grow you would be in pruning seasons. Trials of life and then pruning seasons. Trials of life tends to be more outside in. Here's an opportunity to apply the Word of God to what's going on around you. Pruning seasons are different because now God is getting down to what's going on inside of you. Outside in and inside out. John 15 gives us some encouragement. It says, I'm the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. These pruning seasons in life, the goal for God is to not make us miserable. It's not to point out everything in our life that we're failing in or doing wrong. The goal is to come in and to remove what is unnecessary from our lives to create space for more spiritual fruitfulness for Him. So when God starts to put His finger on areas of life, I get excited because that means that He's wanting to bring me into a season where I am more fruitful and productive for Him. A new level of freedom, a new level of spiritual power, what insight, intimacy, whatever it is, when He puts His finger on something that needs to go, I get excited. So you trim those branches back from the vines because it's taking nutrients away from the main body of the vine and preventing the rest of it from being as fruitful as it could be. So when God gets ready to cut that stuff out of your life, are y'all hearing me this morning? I think this is where it is more than anything today, because when God starts to cut that stuff out, now He's creating space for you to grow into who He's pictured and imagined and desired for you to be. This is where He says, man, you know what? Wonder what would happen if you just trimmed off some social media time and opened up the Word of God. I wonder what would happen if instead of binging on Netflix, you put on some worship music and just drew in closer to Me. You know, I wonder what would happen and instead of freaking out and talking about your problems, you put pause on that, cut out that response, and began thanking Me for the things that I've already given you in your life, and let the praise from your heart change your perspective on what's going on and bring freedom to the situation. To cut out the things and then employ, man, I'm telling you, when He starts trimming things on the inside, I get excited. Don't ever hold back if God starts to put His finger on issues of trauma, issues of trust. Give it to Him. I know that's churchy. Give it to God. There's the process of surrendering those. Lord, if You're putting Your finger on it and You're showing me that this thing that this person did over here is still affecting how I interact and trust people with and trust people today, then that's a problem. I can't witness like You want me to. I can't disciple like You want me to. I can't be the person that I can't be that You need me to be while I'm chained to that in the past. So God, let's just cut this stuff out and let fruitfulness abound where there was death before in my life. Makes sense? So God will grow you that way. Outside in, He'll grow you from the inside out, I think. And I think the last way that we grow in God's little school, and this doesn't get talked about a lot in church world, but I think this is the big one, mistakes that we make. Yeah. Mistakes we make. Everybody say this after me. I make mistakes. Look at the person next to you. This is going to be real fun. Say, you make mistakes. Y'all laughed a little bit more when you said that. Just telling you, we make mistakes. We make mistakes as we grow. I think sometimes that's why it's easier for us, at least here, to try to play things safe and audit church and audit the Word of God, kind of, and we just, in our own secret little way, we kind of implement things where it's safe because we don't want people to know that sometimes we don't have it all together. Let me just set you free. You see this face right here? This is the face of a dude that makes mistakes. Okay? Now, a mistake is an isolated event. A pattern is something very different. Okay? Pattern is a willful choice. A pattern is, I'm just going to do it my way, this way, forget everybody else, forget the Word of God, this is who I'm going to be. A mistake is, I'm growing. I'm trying to become who God's called me to be, and I messed up. Instead of responding the way that I could have biblically, I lost my stuff and went off on the person at work. You know what I'm saying? Instead of responding the way that I could have, I manipulated my husband to get him to do what I wanted him to do, even though I knew he was wiped out from work. I made a mistake. I got overwhelmed with what was going on with life and freaked out and just stepped back from ministry and calling for a second. And I let it get out of balance, and I got so busy trying to chase things and solve problems on my own that I didn't even realize how bad it was pulling away from what God had created and called me to do, and I missed out on weeks and months and even years. I made a mistake, you know? I went out with the wrong crowd with good intentions, maybe even to talk about God with them, and the next thing you know, one thing leads to another, and I'm doing something dumb, and we've all done something dumb and made a mistake. A mistake doesn't define you. It just means that you made a mistake. One of the things that helps me when I make mistakes in life, in this process of growth, because like my kids make mistakes all the time. My kids, it's amazing. But there's a process of learning that's taking place there, you know. And as a pastor, it's funny because, like, all of y'all are here. You're adults. You have hearts to please the Lord. But God's given me a shepherd's heart to see you grow and mature. And so it's weird, the dynamic that I see you with, because I want to see you grow. And not that you're children, because I think that's improper to call you that. It's just... You're under my oversight spiritually, and I want to see you grow. And I see you make mistakes all the time, and I just want to come up to you and say, hey, it's just a mistake. Just a mistake. Just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, get back in the game. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Okay? Don't let him psych you out. It's just a mistake. Maybe it's not even a mistake you made. Maybe it's a mistake somebody else made. People make mistakes. We're growing and we're maturing. That's why the grace of God is there for us. To cover us when we make mistakes, but to also teach us to say no to sin and ungodliness. Grace doesn't just cover. Grace covers and exposes the mistake to give us an opportunity to learn from it so we don't have to make it again. You know, Romans chapter 5 reads like this, and I love this passage of scripture. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Newsflash. Jesus knows everything about you. Jesus knew everything about you when he died for you. Jesus knew everything about you when he called you. Jesus knew how headstrong you were. He knew how stubborn you were. He knew how messed up you were. He knew how jacked up you were. He knew how many mistakes you were going to make. And he still went to the cross to die for you and cover you with his love and his grace and his mercy to pick you back up. Because we have this promise in Scripture that says that he who began a good work in us will carry it through to completion. He is committed to your growth spiritually. He's in your corner. He's not against you. Now, the devil in some seasons might make you think he's against you, and he might make you think, well, here we go, messing up again. Here I go, losing my temper again. Here I go. And I would say, instead of focusing on that, I'd back up and say, you know what? What then is missing in my application of the Word of God that creates that gap that allows that to still take place in my life? Why do I still find myself attracted to losers? What? Maybe I should steer away from that this morning. We'll go somewhere. Why do I find myself gravitating towards certain types of people? Why do I find... What is that imbalance spiritually that can be corrected? You know? Sometimes we got to let God cut the toxic people out of life to create space for deeper relationship with him so that he can bring in stronger relationships that'll be iron sharpening iron type relationships in life. God loves you. Let me encourage you. Listen, we're all in a season of growth. The title of this series is I'm Not There Yet. There's a tagline. What's the tagline on that artwork, CJ? Could you put it back up? Oh, there it is. There it goes. But I'm getting closer. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting closer. And that's a non-churchy way of describing the process of spiritual maturity. None of us are there yet. We're all in different levels of growing and maturing. The goal is, are we getting closer? Are we reading more God's Word this week than we did last week? We try to think in terms of where we are in our walk with God on scales of like 1 to 10. Maybe I'm an 8 this week or a 7 this week. Or I can't be an 11 like some of those people in the church are. And I got news for you. They're not 11s. They're growing just like you. Everybody's dealing with something and working through something. All right? So let that little religious bubble bust in your brain, man. That's just, God is in the business of growing us up. We're all getting closer to who He's called us to be. I think that's the takeaway, man. So apply the Word of God to your life. You want to learn how to grow. You can't audit. You can't audit. And if that's been your approach, change it. Change it. Do this thing for credit. I promise you this, one day we're all going to stand in front of God. And we're all going to be judged according to the Word of God. Listen to me, ladies and gents, the Word of God. Wouldn't it be better to apply it today to be prepared for that moment when it comes? You know what I mean? It's just common sense. Wouldn't it be better to apply the game book of life that He's given us so that we could overcome the trials and issues that we face? Wouldn't it be better to allow Him access to do what He needs to do inside of us to grow us into who He's wanting us to be? God's motivation towards us is love. A father's heart to his child. That's it. He's not trying to hit us with a lightning bolt. He's not trying to point out everything you've done wrong in life. He's saying, I love you. I died for you. I've given you positionally everything you need. Now let me help you practically grow into that person I have called you to be. Oh my goodness, guys, if we can get that, such a game changer. And our motivation towards Him and our motivation in how we grow, how we interact with one another. And just be honest, doesn't it take pressure off of you? In some sense, I don't know where the pressure to perform snuck into the church, but it's straight from the devil. My kids don't have to perform around me. They've just got to be themselves and let me love them, and we'll grow. Same thing with God. Let's grow. Let's all stand this morning. Oh, Lord, I thank You for the truth of Your Word, for what You're speaking to us today, for this foundation that You're laying. Right, You're just speaking to us practically today. We're all in a process of growth. We're all getting closer to You. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed, no one looking around for just a second. I just want to ask you a question. We've talked a whole lot about growth, and we've talked about how God just loved us while we were sinners, but let me ask you, how is your relationship with Jesus? Like, is it real? Do you have a real relationship with Jesus? Or have you been kind of more of an auditor where you've just been coming to church and going through the motions of church, and philosophically maybe you'd agree with these things, you believe in God, but when it comes to the truth of you having a real relationship with Jesus daily, is Jesus really Lord and Savior of your life? See, that's the question of all questions. See, that's the catalyst moment where all the spiritual growth begins, because He can't do the work on the inside of you that He needs to do without having access to the heart. Is He Lord of your heart? Or just a figment in your life? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. If you're here today and you need to get some things right in your relationship with Jesus, He's not Lord and Savior. And the beauty of asking a question like this is that you know the answer pretty much immediately. Because if it's no or I don't know or I hope so, see, those are all indicators that no, He's not. Because when it's real, it's real. When it's real, it's real. And you know it. Is it real? So on the count of three, if that's you, and you know it's not real and you want to make it real today, I want you to lift your eyes and look at me. And I just want to pray with you as we get ready to close out the service today. And this is for you. So don't let the defenses of the games or the talking yourself out of it get in the way. Let's have a real moment with a real God that sent a real Son to die for you because He loves you today. Count of three, that's you. Lift your eyes and look at me. Here we go. I need to get my relationship with Jesus right. One, two, three. Lift them up and look at me. If that's you, I see yours. I see yours. Once you lift them up, you can put them back down. I see yours. I see yours. I see yours right there. Once you lift them up, you can put them back down. Pastor Josh, I'm not ready to stand before God, but I want to be. I want to take a moment and get this right now. If you haven't lifted your eyes yet, lift them up and look at me. I want to make sure we're getting everybody in here this morning. I see you right there. That's awesome. Just a little bit longer. I don't want to miss anybody here today. If you haven't responded yet, you know you need to. Lift them up and look at me. I love what God is doing in this place this morning. One more time. All right, everyone, eyes up here. I love this. We had 7 people respond to this morning. This is amazing. This is great. I love this. I love this, man. I love it. Life transformation. God doesn't take bad people and turn them into good people. He does a work where we're spiritually dead and brings us back to life on the inside. It's very different. I want to pray a prayer, and I want everyone in this room to repeat it after me. And if you lifted your eyes and responded, then pray this and mean it from your heart. The Bible says that you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. That's what we're doing here. You really believe, you're believing in your heart. Now we're going to do a confession and then start this thing off. So I'm going to pray this prayer. Everybody's going to pray after me because at Eastgate, we've got a saying. We say that no one walks alone. This church, we got your back. You're not going through this thing on your own. So everyone, if you would, repeat this after me. And again, if you responded, pray this and mean it from your heart. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. I repent. That means I turn away. I don't want it anymore. Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, to be my King. I don't want an audit. I want full credit for my relationship with you. Thank you for saving me, for forgiving me, for loving me. In your name. Amen. Amen. Let's give God praise in the house this morning.